Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I cannot, in good conscience, continue to mount a campaign that cannot win.
I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Welcome back to The Takeaway. Yesterday, Senator Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race for the Democratic Party's nomination, leaving former Vice President Biden as the likely candidate to go up against President Trump in November. For the beginning of the race, Sanders was the frontrunner, but as the field narrowed in recent weeks, Biden quickly overtook him. After unsuccessfully running for the nomination in 2016, Sanders once again ran on a progressive platform, pushing some of the Democratic Party to the left and galvanizing millions of supporters around the country. Joining me to talk about it is Amy Walter, host of Politics with Amy Walter from The Takeaway and national editor of the Cook Political Report. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Lizzie.
All right. So what prompted Sanders to drop out now? Why not wait till the convention?
Yeah, I think it had become clear to everybody, including folks within the Sanders campaign and Bernie Sanders himself, that there was just no way that he was going to be able to overtake Joe Biden in the delegate race. And I think Wisconsin was going to be another example of this. Obviously, we're still waiting on the results from Wisconsin, but the last poll out of that state, a state that Bernie Sanders had won pretty convincingly in 2016, well, that poll that was out last week showed him losing to Joe Biden by about 30 points. So there's just no breakthrough that was going to happen for Bernie Sanders. And I think finally that the COVID-19 and the fact that we know from now definitely through the summer, if not longer, this is going to be the dominant issue that's animating everything around us, including politics, and trying to break through and overcome the deficit and delegates and attention that Bernie Sanders had to do was just, it's going to be impossible.
You know, he was doing pretty well at the beginning of this campaign, winning caucuses and primaries. What was the turning point for his campaign?
You know, it's really interesting, Lizzie. I sort of went back and I was looking at where Bernie Sanders started this campaign and where he ended it. And the interesting thing was he was the front runner until Joe Biden got in. And once Joe Biden got in, Joe Biden was the front runner, though we kept sort of putting this asterisk there, like the fragile front runner, the front runner who looks good on paper, but we know also has some serious liabilities. And then once Iowa and New Hampshire and Nevada happened, we said, see, those are the liabilities we were talking about. But at the same time, Bernie Sanders never really broke through, except for, again, when it mattered in those early states. But up until that moment, he was always trailing Joe Biden. And the one person who actually broke through was Elizabeth Warren. I mean, she was the only one who really overtook Joe Biden in those over the summer in terms of being a national frontrunner. For Sanders, I think what we came to see is that his greatest strength was also his greatest liability. For people who really like Bernie Sanders, what they like about him is that he's unwilling to bend or change or adapt, right? You get what you get. He is not going to blow with the wind. He's not a poll-driven candidate. But that also meant that he wasn't willing to bend or change or move with the moment in order to bring new people into his campaign. And so he's a little bit like a candidate who says, here's my tent. Either come in it or you sit out of it, but I'm not going to make it any bigger or any more comfortable for you to get in. And fundamentally, he was unable to build a coalition that was big enough to sustain him through states, again, we saw in South Carolina, but even beyond that. And so I think that was his significant challenge was fundamentally that he just wasn't able to expand a coalition beyond that very core of people who liked him from the very beginning.
Amy, we're in this moment where we're all thinking about coronavirus and, you know, the people we love and ourselves. And I guess one thing that makes me think about is Medicare for All, which was so central to the Sanders campaign. Joe Biden has not supported that. And I guess I wonder in this moment where we're all focused on health care, is there any chance that might change?
Right. That's a really good question, because the debate over health care in many ways during the primary was like, it was sort of theoretical, right? This idea of, well, what would it look like in theory to have a Medicare for All system? And that's what they debated over and over again, especially on these televised debates. Well, now we have an actual pandemic and people who are absolutely terrified, not just about the disease itself, but what to do if they get it and perhaps they're uninsured or their insurance isn't enough to cover it. I think, though, in the short term, Lizzie, the issue is about, as you pointed out, fear. You know, the immediate fear of where we are at this moment, and that debates over something like a healthcare system will continue post-pandemic. Hopefully, we will very soon be in a post-pandemic moment where we can sit back and analyze. But right now, we're in just a reactive mode, which is, can we get what people need at this immediate moment? Can we get them, the people who are healthcare workers, the equipment? Can we get ventilators for people who need them? And then we go and pick up the pieces and spend time looking for bigger, deeper answers later, once this is over. I do think it also changes the debate in some ways just from healthcare delivery to temperament and to personality. And presidencies, they're all tested by crisis. And I think what voters look for from a president is their leadership in a time of crisis. And this is where, again, if you are Joe Biden, this is the moment where you should be leaning into the biggest asset that he has, which is his time as a vice president, his
experience,
time being
yeah.
tested. Exactly. I have been tested, he can say, in crisis. And I've shown you what I've been made of in crisis. I'm not here to make big revolutionary change right now, because we're already embroiled in big, unprecedented change.
Is there enough air in the sort of room, I hate to use that phrase, or maybe oxygen in the political media for Joe Biden to even poke through on that right now?
Right.
Because we're all focused on coronavirus.
We're all focused on coronavirus. And the one person who's getting uninterrupted coverage, of course, is the president, who holds these conferences around 5:30 or 6 every day. Again, he's president of the United States. That's what you do when you're the president of the United States. You have the bully pulpit, and of course you're going to use it. But I think actually this isn't a bad thing for Joe Biden to be off the main stage at this moment in time. Look, I think Joe Biden's best opportunity to win in 2020 is if this race is a referendum on Donald Trump. Not a choice between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, but a referendum. Do you like what you see? Is this what you want 4 more years of? That's what 2018 was. It was just simply an up or down vote on Donald Trump. And he lost, Republicans lost the popular vote by almost 9 points. Because, you know, you're basically saying, do you like what you see? Not really. Okay, well then vote for Democrats. Great. If the answer is, do you like what you see? No. Here's your alternative. And of course, this is what the Trump campaign is sort of desperate to turn to, which is, all right, well, if you don't like me, this is your alternative. This guy, and you can see right now, they're sort of setting up the distinctions. This guy is too old. He's too bumbly. He's forgetful. He's not serious enough. And then, of course, all of the controversy over his son and his dealings in Ukraine. And so they want to sow enough doubt about Joe Biden. But that can't happen, again, as you pointed out, when all the oxygen is going to just solving this pandemic.
Where does all of this leave the very real support that Bernie Sanders had, you know, both from a policy standpoint and from an enthusiasm standpoint. Does that change the course of the Democratic Party as we go forward?
You know, I am fascinated by this. And look, I do think this generational divide is so important for us to focus on and think about as we go forward. I mean, as I said earlier, Bernie Sanders, his biggest challenge was that he was unable to sort of build a diverse, robust coalition. It was a very narrow coalition, but it was overwhelmingly populated with young people. And those young people, believe it or not, they do grow up and become old people like me. And they carry with them those values and what sort of shaped them in their earlier years. And a lot of these folks are going to be elected to things like city council and school boards and county commissions and Congress. And they become then the sort of vanguard for a lot of these issues in their own communities. It just hasn't become sort of a nationalized, you know, the moment itself hasn't been crystallized and nationalized in the same way. Bernie Sanders only took it so far.
Amy Walter is the host of Politics with Amy Walter from The Takeaway and national editor of the Cook Political Report. Thank you, Amy.
You're very welcome, Lizzie.
And we heard from you about your thoughts on Sanders dropping out of the race.
My name is Jose from North Hollywood. In regards to the Bernie dropping out, it's definitely a disappointment. I was hoping the movement would definitely succeed. I felt definitely part of the movement. Overall, though, I just hope that Biden can gain Bernie supporters' support and that overall we can come together and beat President Trump.
My name is Jessica, and I'm calling from Seattle, Washington. I'm actually quite smitten that Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race. Felt like he was a polarizing figure, and I don't feel like he captured my values as a moderate Democrat. I just felt that he was a little more divisive, though. I'm really excited to support Joe Biden in November.
This is Chad from Brainerd, and Bernie Sanders dropping out. It's another win for the Democratic establishment, and what's going to be another loss for America come November.
My name is Antonio. I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm a socialist like most of my generation. You know, so many people had their sights on Bernie, but now that that's behind us, to be honest, I'm ready for socialist revolution, and that's where I think things are headed. I lost my home in 2008. Now we're being hammered by this pandemic and another crisis. My generation is done with this. We're done with the two-party system. We're done with the Democrats. Bernie should have known better than to play ball with the Democrats, this party of the billionaires. As soon as we have something else to vote for, we're going to sweep this country.
Remember, 8778-MY-TAKE is our number. This is The Takeaway.